You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for June 2nd, 2017. It's not safe for work.
Coming to you live from the headquarters of the Cornfield Resistance, where we never break up stabilizing global alliances by being a giant dick, it's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal. Never in my life have I ever broken up an alliance by being a dick.
And
ever.
We've never asked for a waiver either for order to run our websites from the White House.
From my friends and families.
An ethics
and
waiver.
Co-workers. Yeah. Just that one time.
Just that one time.
Yeah.
You know, not to just roll right into it quite so quickly, but...
let's roll right into it quickly, shall we?
Let's roll right into it so quickly.
Yeah.
Donald Trump's asked for more waivers in a month than Barack Obama asked for in 8 years.
More waivers! You know, I used to have a little crate in here in my spacious studio, the little bench by my closet where we record this. And it was a crate about 3 feet by 4 feet by 2 feet deep. And every time Donald Trump did something that the Republicans completely freaked out when Barack Obama did it, mm-hmm. or they alleged he did it, but he didn't do it.
Or Hillary Clinton did it.
I would tear off one single post-it note and write a little number on it, write the number one on it, and drop it into the crate. Wow. That crate is now full.
Yeah.
And it is. I know this is repetitive, but based the idea of, oh, my God, can you believe what the Republicans would do, blah, 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 has now exhausted itself.
Yes, it has. I'm tired of hearing what if Hillary Clinton did this, then Republicans would be mad. Because
that's such a – it's not that it's not true. It's that it's so baked into the cake now that even people in the media are like, oh, yeah, well, you know. That's just what we are now.
Yeah. Well, and this is the authoritarian model, is to exhaust those who are covering it to the point where, that's not news because Donald Trump did that so many times already. So moving on, we'll just go to Confefe.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting. So we'll cover that for a week. But and not that we're not going to title our podcast Confefe. We are. But it's not. That's not what is happening. What is happening is horrible.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of people use this podcast as therapy.
Yeah. I do. I know I do. But
I know I do.
Swearing.
We do. This is not. Some people were emailing me and saying about the Paris Climate Accords, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And I want to say, oh no, this is Al Capone in The Untouchables.
Yeah.
Your whole party is dead.
Yeah.
We're going to beat your party to the ground and bury it, and you're never going to be able to use the word Republican without spitting.
Right. If we do it right.
If we stay alert and awake and positive. The one thing, there are two things I will not allow to happen if I can help it. One is rebranding of the Republican Party to something else.
Forbidden.
Forbidden.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing is the lazy media saying, the Democrats don't stand for anything except anti-Trump.
Yes.
Well, anti-Trump is a pretty big deal because anti-Trump means you're for clean air and clean water and international agreements and America's a living wage and health care that's affordable and America's place in the global economy and the global status of the United States in the world. You're for that.
Yeah.
And that's the answer to that question is, well, you know, the Democrats are only anti-Trump, that they're not going to win elections that way. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think people's health insurance being for that you have the right. I mean, I keep saying this to people. You and I spend over $700 a month for health insurance for five people.
Yes, we do.
And I have to beg Mitch McConnell to keep that? Really? I'm for not having to do that. I'm for being able to pay my bills and have a living wage, have a stable economy and fair tax structure that allows people to pay what they can for taxes. And that means that billionaires pay more.
Yes, it does.
And I'm for not letting the Koch brothers And the Mercers own our government.
And the Adelsons and the rest Adelsons. Of them. Yeah.
And
yeah.
the backlash, it's probably going to take 15 years to do this, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
By which time, I don't care. And I know we're going to get into, the styrofoam head and the chocolate sauce and Kathy Griffin and so forth. But Donald Trump will be dead.
Uh-huh.
Of natural causes. 20 years.
Sure.
And we will have moved on. But if you're old enough to remember Watergate, you will remember that there were a lot of reformers elected to the Congress who knew exactly what kind of bills they wanted to pass in order to prevent this from ever happening again. Mm-hmm. We have a much longer list of things that need to happen so that this never happens again, starting with Citizens United. And as soon as the tide turns, and the tide will turn, Citizens United is out. The Koch brothers are out. We know what we need to do. And so don't let anyone tell you, well, you're just anti-Trump. Yeah, here's what that stands for. And it stands for a lot. So
yeah, well, it's like standing next to a burning building.
And saying, I'm for putting this fire out.
You're just anti-arson. Yes. Yes, I am. I'm in favor of keeping intact all the shit that you are burning because you're a terrible person, as a member of a terrible party who is terrified of the future and just wants to burn it all down for absolutely ridiculous, brainwashed, reprogrammable reasons. I've had a couple of chats with notorious liberals and people of my acquaintance recently. One today, I'm going to recapitulate it very briefly just for the fun of it. A relatively prominent local person who's liberal and very nice, but we were talking sort of privately, and I'm not going to reveal any details other than to say we got very quickly into the subject of Donald Trump and the climate change and climate denial, and Republicans are awful people. And I was like, wait a minute. Now, there
the person was saying this to you. You were saying Republicans are terrible people.
I said, Donald Trump has relieved me of the responsibility of treating Republicans with respect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to think of them as my countrymen anymore. They are, whether they're misbegotten, misguided, just dumb as a bag of hammers, hateful, bigot. I don't care. There's a whole constellation of symptoms that comes with being a Republican. But the core is, you have to be a really shitty person to still be a Republican right now. You just have to be. And it was like, well, no, there are moderate Republicans. And I said, well, okay, the base of the party sucks, right? Well, yeah. The people who are voted this asshole, and the 63 million people who voted for this asshole still think he's doing a bang-up job, they suck, right? Yeah, okay. Republican leadership sucks, right? Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, all those people, yeah. Yeah, Republican media sucks, right? Yeah. Then who else is there?
Mm-hmm.
And there was this kind of long, like,
that's what I've had to say to people, which is those reasonable Republicans that you're claiming are going to come back and make being a Republican okay again. There aren't enough of those to get your name on a ballot in 49 states. I will give you Connecticut if you hustle. But other than that, there just aren't enough of them. There are complicit Republicans who've gone along with this for their tax cuts, and they are awful people.
Right.
And they may, want to be reasonable on the world stage and so forth, but they went along with this. And there's an audience of Republicans, all white Republicans, clapping this decision today.
Yep.
On Paris. Yep. So this is what they want. This was in their platform. This is not the Koch brothers are writing their policy and they are clapping for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is happening. You can't stand on the sidelines on this. There is no sideline.
Odious Stephen Moore, who has a permanent job at CNN. Mm-hmm. The two things that if you and I could wave a magic wand and fix would be voting suppression and Citizens United. And the media.
Right.
The media is just broken. That's the other thing that every liberal I've spoken to in the last week since we – and I've spoken to a few. The media is just shit. They don't even watch MSNBC anymore. They just can't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awful because they keep putting in people who are objectively insane or ridiculous or unreasonable or just fucking lie.
Mm-hmm.
And
And inserting that as part of the conversation.
There are many, many large subjects that we have to talk about, and there simply is no format for doing that, because you cannot have a conversation anywhere on any major broadcast platform that begins with the predicate, the Republican base are fucked in the head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just can't. You just can't, because that means a third or a half or two-thirds of my audience is gone immediately. And my advertisers are gone, and on and on and on. I listened to Stephanie Miller, as you know, pleading with people not to boycott Sean Hannity.
Yes, yes.
Because you don't understand. If they go after Sean Hannity, they come after me.
Yeah.
And advertisers don't want anything controversial at all. And
well, but Sean Hannity is now endorsing a boycott of Rachel Maddow, so well, it's not.
And I get the argument. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But you can drive from New Jersey to Nevada and never see a liberal anything, never mm-hmm. hear a liberal anything. If you have Sirius XM, you can pick it up. If you drive through Chicago, you might be able to pick it up there. But this game of don't bully the bully because the bully might bully me.
Right.
Is no, we're losing.
Well, that's why we need to talk about Kathy Griffin.
Yes, we do. I don't want to, but.
Well, we have to.
I agree.
And I know you were mad. You were mad at her when she did it.
It was stupid.
It was stupid.
I thought it was stupid.
We have learned, and we should have known, and mm-hmm. many of us did know, that any jokes about assassination of a president, it's like blackface. You just don't do it. You just don't. That said, she apologized,
and
that should have been the end of it. Because you know who else apologized? Greg Gianforte apologized, and
he
the
did.
Whole Republican Party said, well, he made a mistake.
You're forgiven.
We forgive you. They had it, and then they had it coming. Reporters have it coming. So, this double standard is firmly in place.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was trying to have this argument with someone on Twitter, someone who's on our side, saying, well, you know, you shouldn't have handed Fox News that weapon.
Right.
Well, excuse me, but who hands Newt Gingrich a microphone every time he opens his pie hole after saying things like, you know, Barack Obama has a deeply Kenyan mindset, Kenyan colonial mindset.
Right.
And we know what that means. I mean, this is not code anymore.
No, it's out in the open.
It's out in the open.
The one blessing is it's all out in the open.
Yeah.
Now.
Sarah Palin and, you know, people who hung Obama in effigy over and over again. As I said, if Kathy Griffin wanted to reveal or get people on Twitter to reveal how Barack Obama was treated for 8 years by the Republican base, she did a great job because
mm-hmm.
it didn't take anyone 5 seconds to find the noose, the burning in effigy.
Oh, yeah. They're all over.
You know,
they're all over.
The N-word everywhere. They're proud of it.
They're proud of it. This is, you
so
know.
This double standard just exists. Ann Coulter gets unlimited trips to the "it was just a joke" salad bar. She gets to do that every single time.
Yep.
And Kathy Griffin apologizes within 8 hours for one mistake that was a styrofoam head with chocolate sauce on it. That was her mistake.
Right.
And
the traumatized Baron traumatized him.
He hasn't seen his dad in 4 months. He didn't see his dad on Mother's Day.
Did all the pussy grabbing bother him? Did having daddy being a pussy grabbing racist who made fun of disabled people, mm-hmm. did that traumatize your kid in any way there, Don? Did that bother him in any way? Of course not. Because
This is not, well, and he doesn't see his father often enough, whether it traumatized him or not. It's not the right thing to do.
No.
But it wasn't a real head. It was obviously not a real head. And I don't think it traumatized, you know, if it traumatized him, you know, remember how the Obama girls had.
I'm
not doing whataboutism.
Right.
I'm saying that there's a double standard for forgiveness.
Yes, there
is. That's the issue. It's not. Being
a liberal is unforgivable.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's like being black. Unless you're a Republican, it's unforgivable.
You don't get to be that.
I want to loop back to Stephen Moore for just a second.
The reason
I brought him up was he was right about one thing.
Yes.
It's a horrible person. He's a liar. He's a denier. He's a fraud. He's on CNN because our media just sucks. It's full of whores. It's run by sleaze bags. If you believe anything you see on television, you are taking your life in your hands.
If you can't tell, we're angry tonight.
We're kind of pissed off. But he did say one thing. He said, look, Donald Trump was crystal clear on the campaign trail that he was going to get out of the Paris climate change. Mm-hmm. He wanted out. He wanted out. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. He was very clear about that. If this election, I'm quoting him almost literally, if this election was anything about anything, it was a referendum on climate change and the Paris Agreement. I agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that every single Republican who voted for Donald Trump needs to have everything he did tattooed to their fucking forehead.
Mm-hmm.
So that for the rest of their lives, don't bake any cakes for their weddings. Mm-hmm. Don't let them point at them in the street. That's the one. He's the one. He's the fucker who voted for Donald Trump. That's the asshole who did that. And that's the problem. Right now, being a liberal means, and the thing about Kathy Griffin is she was an absolutely attention-grabbing C-list who will do literally anything for attention. Look at me! And this is one of those things. And normally they're just harmless. This wasn't. This was pretty horrific. But it was, one of the things that it was a perfect test of exactly how the forgiveness machine works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you're on the left, it is unforgivable. You're fired within 8 hours. It doesn't matter if you abase yourself, if you apologize, et cetera, if you roll on the ground, wear sackcloth and ashes. Now she'll be back because media people never get fired. They always find a way back in. It doesn't, like ants in the kitchen, they will always find a way back in. But she has been made to suffer out of proportion with her offense. Ann Coulter, as you said, will be back on the Bill Maher show. She'll be syndicated in our local paper. There's one set of rules for Clintons.
Yep.
You know, and one set of rules for everybody else. There's one set of rules for liberals and one set of rules for Republicans. And the people who enforce those rules are the people who need to really, really feel a lot of pain. And the referees in this game are Chuck Todd,
mm-hmm.
people like that, people who presume to fold their arms and cluck their tongues and say, "Now that was just, you just went too far." If that person then turns and asks, "What do you think, Hugh Hewitt? What do you think, Newt Gingrich? Sorry, you just disqualified yourself." This is what Trump voters voted for, and they're getting everything they voted for. This is with all the outrage, all the indignation you see on social media, on Twitter, you know, can you believe X, Y, and Z? And oh my God, Chris Hayes just, you know, on the fainting couch, rightly so. Like, look, this is what the pig people voted for. This is what they wanted. Why is this a shock to you? This is 2005 all over again. That's the part that just stuns me. It's like, well, and this is where I respectfully disagree with my beautiful wife.
Mm-hmm, you do.
To a certain extent. Once the temple comes down, we will emerge with our list of things that we're going to do, and we'll get them done, and we'll clean up this fucking mess. And that's probably true. But we did this already. After the Bush administration fell apart, you know, we were going to step in and get shit done, and it was going to be great, and it was going to take a generation to clean up George Bush's mess. Well, now it's going to take two generations.
Nixon. Yeah,
and
same thing.
Every time another Republican administration collapses of its own, you know, corruption and complicity and just monstrously evil behavior, we get about 18 months or 16 months or 7 months, in the case of Barack Obama, 7 months to get everything done. And then the entire establishment wraps its arms around the whole both-siders thing, and they start coming after the left for trying to fix what the right broke. And they start rehabilitating Newt Gingrich, and they start bringing Hugh Hewitt out, and they create another narrative about how liberals really are just as bad. You know, Democrats are just as bad. Democrats are just as ineffectual. And it really and truly, it's those people in their workplace, in their homes, where they go get coffee, who need to be visited by three ghosts and told in ways that they cannot sleep at night, that you are the ones who are fucking this country up. You are the ones who are enabling everything, all the awful people in this country. You are the ones who keep putting horrible, lying scumbags on television and treating them with respect.
Mm-hmm.
You are to blame. And there is no venue to get to those people. There's no way to reach them. They don't respond to email. They don't respond to letters. They don't respond to Twitter.
Well, because you want to destroy them and you want to destroy their comfortable life. So why should they?
Right.
Why? I mean, they have money to protect them.
Sure.
And that's why they are what they are. I mean, this is what this, you know, I got in a little bit of a tiff in my own head because a colleague of mine today said, I pointed out that Andrea Mitchell, when she's discussing the Paris Climate Accord, decided to have Senator Snowball, James Inhofe,
mm-hmm.
on her show. And the thing is, she wants her tax cut.
Right.
Andrea Mitchell's husband is worth $10 million, and Andrea wants her tax cut. She doesn't want to pay when her husband passes this mortal coil, she does not want to pay an estate tax.
Right.
And a colleague of mine said, well, you know, that's why you get a life insurance policy at that level, is so that you, the estate tax is paid out of the insurance policy. And I'm thinking, that's not it.
No.
That's not the point.
No.
The point is, they will do anything, pay any amount to not contribute to society.
Right.
That, because they are separate from us and better than us.
Right. And we're here to serve them.
And yes, they have attorneys and insurance policies. And so, you know, we're barely paying our health insurance, you and I. You know, we're not the media. We pretend to be the media. We're not the media. I'm sorry. Oh. We're really mad and angry and negative this week. Let's do a Bible bit, shall we?
Bible bit.
That's not scriptural.
Ezekiel, I found this during church. I pulled the Bible out of the back pew, the back of the pew in front of me, because I wanted to find something, and I found it.
You did, and it was.
Yeah.
And we were cracking wise in that.
We were cracking wise about it in the back pew when I showed this to you. This is Ezekiel 13. I'm going to read it from the Message. It is the Bible in Contemporary Language, translated by Eugene H. Peterson, and this is Ezekiel 13. God's message came to me, son of man, preach against the prophets of Israel who are making things up out of their own heads and calling it prophesying. All they do is fantasize comforting illusions and preach lying sermons. The fact is, they've lied to my people. They've said, no problem, everything's just fine, when things are not at all fine. And the way the King James Version translates that is, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The much more familiar verse. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. When people build a wall, they're right behind them, slapping on whitewash. Tell those that are slapping on the whitewash, when a torrent of rain comes and the hailstones crash down and the hurricane sweeps in and the wall collapses, what's the good of the whitewash that you slapped on so liberally, making it look so good? I'll dump my wrath on that wall, all of it, and on those who plastered it with whitewash. I will say to them, there is no wall, and those who did such a good job of whitewashing it wasted their time. Those prophets of Israel who preached to Jerusalem and announced all their visions telling us things were just fine when they weren't all fine. I hope that what we are telling you guys is that, you guys are feeling what we're feeling.
Yes.
I hope that that is what comes across, is that we are feeling what you're feeling and that we love you and we want peace, but we're not going to yell peace, peace when there is no peace.
Yes.
Because right now, what's happening is an abomination.
It is.
And we're really mad about it.
Well, I made this.
They're getting away with it temporarily because of Mitch McConnell, and we're mad.
I made this point when I talked to one of my people over the last week, which is, this is an occupied country.
Yeah.
And unlike other occupied countries, I'm not going to make any broad historical statements, because they're all unique. But there's no need to subdue the population.
Yeah.
Know that the dictators always seize the TVs and radio stations. They already own the radio stations and televisions.
Yeah.
They have the newspapers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's no need to subdue the population, because their population likes it this way.
Yeah.
They're not groaning under the iron boot of tyranny. They're not pissed about it.
They're saying the reporters had it coming. Yeah.
They're thrilled. Yeah. The half-wits who are like slowly, blearily waking up to the fact that they're going to lose everything, that all of this President Stupid's initiatives are going to completely screw them nine different ways. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that nobody at Fox is terribly worried about that, because they've proven by their actions, these same people, that they are just too stupid to be taken seriously. And that all you have to do is wave some shiny at them, like Benghazi or emails or birth certificates, and their brain just blanks out, and you just plug in whatever you want them to think, and they'll go think that, and they'll blame Hillary Clinton for the fact they don't have health care, and Barack Obama for the fact they don't have coal jobs anymore.
Yep. And on Tuesday, Breitbart did 18 stories on Kathy Griffin.
Yeah. Yep.
18 different blog posts about Kathy Griffin on one day.
If there's one thing, I've said this already during the podcast, we on the left need to up our media game. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean funding us, although you certainly should feel morally obligated to send just every nickel you can spare. But at the same time, we need, frankly, the kind of concentrated, dedicated, well-funded, knives-out operation that they have at Breitbart.
Yeah.
We need people who will just go after Ann Coulter until she is terrified to show her face in public. Mm-hmm. I mean, make her life fucking miserable. We need people who will get in
Sean
Hannity's...
Well, here's the deal. Driftglass. Driftglass, when you do that, they take the martyrdom route.
I don't care.
So I know you don't care, but that makes them stronger, and that's the problem.
Stronger among...
Among their followers, which is who funds them,
right,
and funds them very well. That somebody, they are suing, I think the DNC actually is suing Veritas Media,
right,
for $1 million. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Veritas won't have to pay that settlement. That's not going to come out of his pocket.
I don't
not going to come out of anybody's pocket.
I don't mean
can't afford it.
I don't mean doctoring video. I mean making the people who work inside the machine, the people who come to work from 9 to 5 or whatever it is, whatever the hours are, the people who run the cameras, the people who without whom the operation could not function. And
What you're saying is you want to make it toxic to work for Fox, but the money is really good.
Sure.
And you can be protected all the way down to the guarded garage at 30 Rock, right, or wherever it is, Fox News headquarters. Uh-huh. Get in your armored vehicle and drive out to where there is nobody in your country house. I mean, this is what Brian Williams does. You know, drives to his Connecticut fortress and be protected,
right,
and have you, as long as you have your money, you're good, in good shape. So I don't have any hope. I mean, I think you're engaging in a fantasy here that
probably
we're going to get these people.
Not,
and we're not. We're going. The only thing that's going to get them is getting people to vote and getting them to vote against these people.
Right. I agree.
And, you know, and repeatedly we have a lot of help because the Republican Party is toxifying itself with a lot of voters,
mm-hmm,
but that's not enough.
No.
And all what we can do is this show every week. And I don't pretend that is an earth-shattering thing, but we give hope to 7,000 people around the country who are changing the world.
That's good enough for me.
And I'm more than willing to keep doing that. You know, living wage or not, this is our gift to you. If you're facing the financial difficulties, you know that, guys, don't feel any obligation. If you're struggling financially, we've been there. We're right there with you, and we know what you're dealing with. So
let me rephrase what I said then. Mm-hmm. If we would have each other's backs.
Yeah.
If we would have each other's backs. I don't mean our audience. Our audience are awesome, and they have our back every week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that Kathy Griffin was fired for a shitty, bad taste joke.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa Harris Perry was fired for being black.
Mm-hmm. And for being uppity. And for being uppity,
right,
about her place on the Sunday schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly wasn't fired for being a monster. Bill O'Reilly got fired because it was finally too financially inconvenient, mm-hmm, to have him on, mm-hmm, television. Roger Ailes wasn't fired because he molested women and created a toxic work environment, was a hell beast on earth and a shitty human being. He was fired because he finally became too much of a financial burden for the shareholders of Fox News to be willing to underwrite.
Right.
They have no morals over,
right,
there. And that's why they will fight and fight and fight. And Sean Hannity kept fighting for the Seth Rich thing after his own network debunked it.
It still is.
Because, yep, and there is a backstop for people like that. They don't, mm-hmm, get pushed over easily. People on our,
right,
side get pushed over,
right,
too easily.
No, that's my point. Yeah. Yep. Is, why did Kathy Griffin give Fox News all that ammo? Excuse me? Mm-hmm. How much ammo does Ann Coulter give us every week?
Right.
And we just put it down and go, oh, no, you know, that's Fox. That's Ann Coulter. She's always been like that.
Right.
And she garnishes strength from it by saying those leftists and those liberals are hurting me.
Well,
and,
and then Bill Maher puts her on.
Exactly.
So, you know.
And when Bill Maher put Milo on, I stopped watching and I stopped linking and I stopped running his clips at,
right,
Crooks and Liars myself. It's not up to me. I don't decide the entire content of that site, but I'm not going to write another Bill Maher post for the rest of my life. I'm not going to write another Jimmy Fallon post for the rest of my life.
No.
Those two people are dead to me. So to the extent that I control what is spread through the media outlets that I have this little tiny window of control over, I make a stand. And where I'm able to call out, hopefully with a sense of humor and a sense of righteousness, righteous indignation as well, you know, if I'm able to do that and make a difference and call people out, then I'll do it. But I think with some people and with some situations, you have to just drop it. And I know that Jimmy Fallon has felt it at NBC that no one is sharing, you know, left-wing blogs and so forth are not sharing his funny little clips because of the hair tussle with Donald Trump, normalizing Donald Trump.
For those of you who are wondering why this sounds vaguely familiar, if you jump up Ezekiel a few verses, you will hear, "I will carry out great vengeance upon them and punish them in my wrath. And they will know my name is that I'm the Lord when I take my vengeance on them." Samuel Jackson said that in Pulp Fiction, except he didn't say it. It was a Quentin Tarantino version of that verse.
Yes, right,
And for you fans out there, a little spoiler alert, Nick Fury's headstone shows up in the Avengers movie.
Oh,
not
wow.
Not saying he's dead. I'm just saying Nick Fury's headstone shows up in one of the movies, and I believe the quote on it is from Ezekiel 20. A little bit of fan service there. Thought you'd all enjoy that little discursive discussion of Science Fiction University, which we haven't touched on in a really long time. Yeah. Speaking of science fiction, one person who has seen the future and wants us all to live there is Elon Musk, who has told Donald Trump to go pound fucking sand.
Well, and that's the start of a mass exodus from the President's Council. The head of Disney left this afternoon, and this is going to go on. Yeah. 61 mayors have signed on to the Paris Climate Accords this afternoon.
Jerry Brown,
of course, California is just going off and negotiating with China on their own and going to do solar on their own. So, and the Prime Minister of Canada said today that he was disappointed that the current government of the United States had done this.
Well, Barack Obama issued a statement, the press release today.
That this is, you know, the international community recognizes that this is temporary insanity. Yeah. And, you know, so people have different feelings about Bernie Sanders out there in liberal land these days. But Bernie Sanders did go to Germany and spoke to a group of students and academics in Germany and said, look, Donald Trump is not America. Yeah. And I think we all can agree. Donald Trump is not America.
Donald Trump is a part of America.
He is.
In fact, the only thing we have in abundance, really, the only thing we're producing in greater amounts other than carbon is stupid Republicans.
Yeah.
We are the number one country, I believe, in the world. it's the manufacturer export.
As a percentage of the whole, Britain has their share, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's no one in British politics, to my knowledge, who would say, you know what we should do? We should get rid of the national healthcare system.
They want to. They won't say it, but they want to. The ones that will say it don't have any power. Yeah. Right. And part of that is parliamentary government.
Yeah.
So when you have parliamentary government, you can have, you know, your two little MPs there from the crazy party. And not have any power. So, all right. So we need to talk about. Well, no, I want to talk about Trump Russia first.
Oh yeah, go back to Trump Russia.
I haven't read Al Franken's book. We have it on audiobook with his voice reading it unabridged, which is how I like to consume Al Franken. I like my Franken that way, and we'll be listening to that over the summer. I did like how he was on. Samantha Bee last night.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. He really is this week.
Mark Maron.
He's everywhere. But he was on with Samantha Bee, and Samantha Bee mentioned that he has an entire chapter dedicated to Ted Cruz, writing about Ted Cruz his book, and says all kinds of nasty, nasty things about Ted Cruz. And he said, well, you know, I don't dislike Ted Cruz as much as some of my colleagues. I just hate him. And so she started to read to him from his Ted Cruz chapter, and he pulled out scripts of past episodes of her show. She started reading to her all of the things that she had said about Ted Cruz.
And that was just
pornography. And they had this one right. And then she, I can't remember what she said, but she said something, she read something, and he said, "That's not in my book." And she said, "No, I just made that up, but pretty good, huh?" And now it's a competition, right? Even before this Paris Climate Accord, Angela Merkel had run out of fucks with Donald Trump.
Yeah, she really had. Out.
And I know we've mentioned this before, but the president of France is taking a very strong lead, not only in inviting American scientists and developers and entrepreneurs to come to France and for, you know, and be part of the resistance over here, because we will support you in France.
Yeah. Leave Gilead while you can.
Right. Leave. Exactly. Exactly. But we'll see how temporary this is. Maybe this is going to be 4 years of this. We're going to survive it and cling to each other. And this is getting worse.
Yes, it's getting worse.
We're really mad tonight. I want you guys to know we're angry.
Yes.
And it's okay to be angry. It's okay to express your anger.
Yes, it is.
It's okay to write to your representatives and express your anger.
Yes, it is. It's really important to march and to vote.
Yes.
And it's really important to find candidates and become a candidate if you can't find one and run for office.
Mm-hmm.
Any office that you can that is within your means and arm's reach.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with this country is the Republican Party.
Yep.
That means it's a political problem.
And Junior Dude is, we are not going to be able to go to the March for Truth on Saturday because Junior Dude is graduating from high school on Saturday.
Which is its own March for Truth, frankly.
And that's our March for Truth. Junior Dude was very upset about the Paris Climate Accord decision, specifically because of what it does to our place in the world power structure.
Yeah.
And he wants to know how we get that back. And I said to him, I had to look him right in the face and say, we don't. we don't get it back.
Right.
What we get back is our sanity when Donald Trump is out of office and the Republican Party is put down. But as long as Mitch McConnell is the judge who decides what happens to Donald Trump, nothing happens.
Right.
So make sure if you're discussing this with your neighbors and family that you loop it back to Mitch McConnell. This could be gone tomorrow if Mitch McConnell was not a thief.
Right.
But he stole a Supreme Court seat. He stole an election.
Yep.
He's the one that said, no, we're not going to release any information about the Trump investigation.
Yes.
While, you know, Jason Chaffetz over on the House side was leaking everything about the Hillary Clinton investigation.
Yeah.
So,
and remember, Mitch McConnell was not beamed in from another planet. He didn't come down from the sky.
He was elected by the voters of Kentucky.
By the morons of Kentucky.
Right.
Decided over and over again, this, you know, waddled, racist asshole is our guy. Because you know what he loves? He loves tobacco and he loves coal.
Mm-hmm.
And so do we. And he's just like us. In fact, he looks just like us. He looks like every old picture of a Klansman from 1948. He really does. And that's
really,
that really stripped down of all of its rhetoric, bereft of all of its intellectual camouflage.
Mm-hmm.
You take off the fake glasses. That's who these people are. That's mm-hmm. really all they are. And underneath
the moss and underneath all of the garbage that we've had to deal with this week, there have been stories that 538 and others have published showing, oh, my God, is the Republican Party burning their bridges with young voters?
Yes.
And, you know, you made my mother cry over health insurance.
Uh-huh.
That has burned into people 8 to 15.
You remember that.
They will never forget that their mom cried over a political issue, okay?
Right.
And they will never forget that their mom put on a pink hat because my mom doesn't like what Donald Trump did and how he talked about women. And they will never forget those things.
No.
Those are burned in their brain. And the children that are a little older, as our children are,
mm-hmm.
haven't forgotten gay marriage.
Nope.
I mean, that to them, you know, the White House was lit with rainbow lights within their memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my 14-year-old, 14 and three-quarters-year-old, remembers in her own, you know, in her life experience, the White House being lit up with rainbow colors.
Because before that, gay people could not get married. And after that, they could.
And it's sort of harmful. She's going to have to adjust. Everyone's going to have to sort of adjust their waistband a little bit in that generation, because to her, in her memory structure, that whole argument took less than 6 months.
Right.
She doesn't have it in her experience to think about
that it took decades.
That it took decades and decades and decades. It took, you
arguably
know,
centuries.
300 years. Yes, yeah. It took hundreds and it took from, you know, ancient Roman Greece up till now to get to where we are now.
Yeah.
And that there is one party that wants to go backwards. There is one party that is the party of Gilead. Mm-hmm. There's a very good review in the New Yorker magazine of The Handmaid's Tale, which I have been watching. And
we listened to a pretty good review. The Watch had a pretty good review.
The Watch did a good review of it. Driftguts hasn't been watching it, but I watched it. And but the review in The New Yorker talked about Donald Trump being, you know, the whoremonger in Jezebel's, the hall of prostitution that actually exists in secret in Gilead, because of course it does.
Has to, yeah.
And Trump representing that, and then the other side of that is Pence. And
right.
Pence is pure Gilead down the line, you know, and I thought that was interesting. Kathy Griffin's been fired, but Sean Hannity still has his job, Driftglass.
Sure he does. And you know, he wants to guest host on his show?
Yeah.
Julian Assange.
I heard Julian Assange isn't leaving the embassy after all.
No. Well, he can. I mean, let's face it. Sean Hannity phones it in. So, you know, Julian Assange can phone. I mean, this is what free fall, I imagine, feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Where everything is up in the air and everything. There's no local vertical to sort of orient yourself about what is up or down anymore.
Yep.
It happened, and this is the thing that is both depressing and, I guess, reassuring in a weird kind of way. None of this is surprising.
Yeah.
This isn't shocking. It's tragic, and it's awful, and it's our duty as citizens and as decent human beings to bind this wound up that we keep inflicting on ourselves and repair it and rebuild what we have for our children. But that's the idea that the Republicans would burn this country to the ground because Fox News told them to and would elect a lunatic and a con man and a racist who would take them right over the cliff should come as a surprise to no one. This is the absolute core of the discussion that you cannot force anyone on television by any amount of pressure to talk about openly. There's a party in this country that's dangerous. There are 60 million people in this country who are too stupid and dangerous to be citizens of this country anymore. And yet we're stuck with them. So what do we do about that? Because that's the real problem is there's a free market. There's an open market for media. So it's perfectly legal in this country to keep feeding the deranged monsters in the Republican Party lies all day and all night. There's nothing stopping them from doing that. And those people keep reacting to the horrible shit they read right up to the White House by wrecking everything in sight, by trashing everything in sight, by smashing our alliances and by aligning with the worst people in the world. There's no law that's going to stop that. It's all legal. Everything that Republicans do, everything that Fox News does, everything that the hate radio does is all legal. And there's no – this is a drug that is available to them 24/7, and they're absolutely addicted to. And we really do need to talk about the fact that we have 63 million sick fucking sociopaths in one political party, and we need to fix that. We need to find a way to contain them and counterbalance against them. But that needs to be where we start the discussion, not, well, Jeffrey Lord, what do you think? And how about you? How about you? No. The discussion at that level needs to be, why does Sean Hannity still have a job?
Right.
And why, and we know the answer to that. That's the depressing part. We know exactly why he has a job.
Well, and one of the reasons he has a job is who owns that media, and I think if we don't include in this podcast the whole Sinclair Tribune and how your local evening news with weather and sports and, you know, weather on the nines, right, is going to be owned or is already owned by Sinclair.
Right. Which is just as bad as Fox.
Which is which is twice as bad as Fox, yes, because they're going to insert propaganda between high school sports scores and pretend that it's news, and that's going to be picked up by Fox, and that's really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And we have to find a way to stop that.
Well, there is a way to stop that.
Fox News has self-destructed to a large extent this year. I'm waiting for more karma to hit them.
Yeah, well, it inevitably will. One of the karmic retributions, one of the karmic paybacks, mm-hmm, or just logical paybacks, is that nobody wants to work in this White House.
Yeah.
And that is apparently becoming news. That,
see, if you want to work in TV news, you have how much do you have to go along with? How much shit do you have to eat, mm-hmm, to work in television these days?
Well, there's
a lot.
There's a wonderful, I'll put the link up. I think his name is Tobin Smith, was on Fox News for 12 years, mm-hmm, and has written this very long expose, except it's not an expose because he was fired. He didn't quit. He didn't have a sudden attack of conscience. He was cast out from Fox News. But he said, look, it's very simple. Everything you see on Fox News is a puppet show. It's all engineered. It's all scripted. It's all, you know, here's your liberal. Here's what you're going to say. Here's how you're going to lose this argument.
But we've known that since at least the Rolling Stone article that talked about, you know, the script of the day, and Roger Ailes come on and say, here's the talking point that each show is going to push. And you can watch it throughout the day, get pushed. So we've known that. The problem is that CNN won't talk about it.
Right.
And Allison Camerota has on her panelist of white Trump voters who are apparently the center of the universe and who the entire world has to breathe the air that these 63 million white rural people tell them they have to breathe. That's the deal. Mm-hmm. Because jobs, you know, we want our coal jobs back. So if we give you a coal job back, you're going to take, no, I'm 55 years old. I'm retired.
Yeah.
You know, my back hurts. Well, why are we wanting coal jobs back then? You know, this is the thing. Most of the people that are voting for a return to coal jobs don't really want a coal job.
No.
What they want is $35 an hour.
Right.
That's what they want.
They want a comfortable retirement and $35 an hour while they're working.
Right. While they're working. Yeah.
But
so,
no, it's not. But that's true of television. You have to eat a lot of shit. You have to put up a lot of stuff. You have to. And apparently, even the good ones have to not talk about how the machine works.
That's my point. Exactly.
Yes.
You can't go behind the scenes and say, you notice that her crotch is showing just this much,
right,
while she's pouting about Barack Obama. And what that does to the 61-year-old white male brain that's been listening to Rush all day,
yeah,
is reaffirms their worldview while giving them a little mini Woody. And so they're sold. They're sold on whatever she's willing to sell. But it's prostitution for all of them.
Sure.
And that's my point.
But when it comes to the act of government,
mm-hmm,
there's a minimum number of barely competent people you need inside any organization to keep it running,
mm-hmm,
at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or it just falls apart, and it's falling,
yep,
apart. The government's falling apart. The White House,
yep,
is falling apart.
Yep.
And part of that is because nobody wants to work there.
Right. Right.
Because there is a job waiting for you out there if you have Fox News on your resume.
Right.
There is no job waiting for you, as far as I know.
No.
If you're the, you know, third tier policy douchebag who Donald Trump used as ass paper for a month in the White House before you quit.
Well, and that communications director that no one had heard of who,
yeah,
quit this week.
Yeah.
And I don't even know his name.
Yeah.
What a smart guy.
Yeah.
I left before anyone could learn my name.
And I got out. You should get out, too.
You should. The reason they can't get out is they have signed a non-disclosure agreement with Trump that will take away their house. And so there is no book deal waiting for them,
nope,
to tell nothing, right?
So they just leak.
Yeah,
so they leak just like leak.
That's all they can do. That's all they can do.
I'll just tell this very brief story, then we'll move on quickly. Once upon a time, many years ago, I applied for a position with the Chicago Public School District, mm-hmm, to help set up a high school. I had had some small experience doing that. They were interested in setting up a certain number of specialty high schools to deal with special market situations and so forth. And I had a little bit of background in that. It's not my master's. It's not what I do. But I did have experience in doing that. And they said, thanks, but no thanks. So So that's fine. Like 3 months later, I literally got a panicked phone call from someone very high up in CPS going, are you still interested in that job? I said, yeah. And I could literally hear a commotion behind him. Like there were people yelling and running around and it was panic. There was obviously panic in the room wherever the hell he was. And what he wanted me to do was set up 6 high schools, sort of by myself. And he wanted me to agree to do that like right now. And could I fax my resume over right now? And
oh my God. So what you were being set up.
Yeah, that's the your job is to fall on a grenade.
Yeah.
I need someone to blame for the and I know exactly what happened. They had made a whole bunch of promises to various previous administrators, and then they had gotten a person in there who I knew, and I had worked with him. He was not a colleague of mine, but we had been in many meetings together. I had answered many of his questions, vice versa, who wanted to know what the fuck happened for the last 10 years. And you got funded to do this and this and this and this and this and this. Here's all the projects you said you were doing. Here's all the initiatives you said you were doing. Here are all the schools you were going to set up. Where the fuck are they? And they had nothing to show for it. And they were running around, pulling everything off the shelf, every number they knew, calling anybody they could lay their hands on who was unemployed and desperate, which I certainly was, and begging them to come down and take responsibility for the shitstorm that was coming their way. That is what I get the impression the White House is like right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there aren't any people left inside to run anything. And the people
Never were. They didn't hire anybody. And that's one problem.
The lifetime, you know, bureaucrats who just want to come in, you know, spend money on parks. I just want to do my thing and go home are horrified by these vandals who are sacking the place and clearly letting the worst scum in America run loose.
Well, just the people who are the Emily Posts of the White House, who would do all of the stuff of now, Mr. President, protocol officer, the people who show you where the napkins go and how when the prime minister of this country comes, don't hold out your left hand in any way. Keep your left hand either by your side or behind your back because the left hand is considered filthy.
And when the governor of Saudi Arabia gives you a gift, it's not yours.
Right.
It belongs to the country.
Yeah.
And we need to catalog it.
You don't get to keep it. Yeah. And all those kind of rules. I mean, that so much of this is self-inflicted. We're going to get through this, folks.
Yes, we are.
And I've just got word from someone that Bloomberg is now organizing the governors.
Yeah.
So Jerry Brown they're going to have Bloomberg. He's getting mayors, businesses, universities, etc., are all announcing that they are going to adhere to the Paris Climate Accords. This will be a growing list over the course of the next 15 days. You'll
every
see
blue, every mark my words, every blue city out there.
Yeah, well, there are no red cities.
Right.
Remember that. There are no red cities. So every city out there, we already have 61 mayors on the list in 3 hours. Businesses, you know, like I said, Disney pulled out of the president's council, whatever. There's no longer and I'm sorry. I agree with the people that have tweeted. OK, so the Muslim ban was OK, but this is a bridge too far. Got it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I know.
Corporate America wakes up when they want to wake up.
Uh-huh.
But this one is non-controversial in their world. This is Davos is raising up their hind legs on their hind legs now. So,
wait a minute.
Yeah, because this does affect their bottom line. They've already written the budgets. Corporate America's already written the budgets based on Paris, folks.
Right.
And the military knows that climate change is a matter of national security.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is he may have done this for the base.
Sure.
It can be as meaningful or as meaningless as everything else Trump has done. By the way, Trump also said today that, the tax bill is going through very well. We're having lots of success with that. And there is no tax bill, people. No one wrote it.
No, there is none. It doesn't
exist. There is none. Doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Mitch McConnell's putting off health care till 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can. if you have a Republican senator, folks, you need to fax them. You need to call them and you need to get through to them about the AHCA. They are still on break.
Mm-hmm.
And this is make or break season for that process, because if there are senators, there are Republican senators who have told Mitch McConnell that they are done with this if they hear a lot of blowback during this recess.
Because there's nothing in it for them.
No.
These are not, you know, Senate seats are different. And there's no, if you listen to Al Franken, he will tell you, no, the Senate is not the cordial, stately, collegial organization it used to be at all. Where you go to do great things and have great debates on the issues of the day. That it just isn't that at all anymore. But they're not the House of Representatives yet. And they are not completely 100% all of the Republican Party beholden to the entire crazy Republican base. There are places. I mean, there are enough. All you need to do is peel off a few of them. And that's enough to stop the AHCA dead in its tracks, which is where it should be. I don't want to reminisce too much, but I do remember 2005, I think it was, when I was at a convention in Chicago, the bio convention, biotechnology convention. By some weird confluence of events, I got an invitation along with a couple of people I worked with to the biotech convention, the Global International Biotech Convention. And one of the keynote speakers was Neil Cavuto, who was a fucking asshole. Who urged the drug manufacturers in the audience to withhold drugs from people, from liberals, because that'll show them who's in charge, because liberals hate you and they piss on you and they really hate you. But the other keynote speaker, one of the other keynote speakers was Bill Clinton.
Yep.
And for an hour in this vast, cavernous, darkened room at the McCormick Place, everyone suddenly remembered what it was like to not have a stupid president.
Right.
Again.
Right.
Oh, my God. Yep. After 5 years of Bush, I'd completely forgotten what a non-moron sounds like. Because Bush was
somebody
so
who actually reads the New York Times and the Washington Post every
day. It was an elegant, sweeping Bill Clinton defense of smart government. And it was like, it was literally a breath of fresh air. We were all at our table like, oh, my God. I have been so starved for this for so long, I gave up even hoping I could ever hear this again. But when you went to the breakout sessions and went to the presentations, the drug manufacturers and the bioengineers and the molecular biologists and the venture capitalists from all over the world had one question, which is, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Your country used to lead us. You used to be the number one science guys. You used to have more patents than the next 20 countries put together.
And what happened was Sean Hannity and Solyndra. That's what happened.
Well, this was Bush.
Yeah, this
you
was
elected
Bush,
this
but
fucking moron who shut off everything, who said we're not going to do this kind of research or that kind of research, and science is bad. What is wrong with you people? You've driven all of your smart people overseas.
And then
why
did you do this? We're doing it again, and we did it with Solyndra.
Exactly.
And we did R&D is dead because if you fail as a Democrat, and that's the people that invest in R&D. Meanwhile, Japan is, you know, thousands and thousands of times more R&D than we are. R&D means failure, folks. That's what Edison proved. How many times did it take him to get the light bulb right? But we are stupid in this country. We have 63 million stupid people in this country who are being used by right-wing media and lots of money to get tax cuts and deregulation and money making for billionaires into power, and we have to reform it, and we will. I want to do a shout out to the U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions.
Okay.
Today on their Facebook page, they put the word pride.
Ah, good for them.
Thank you.
Thank you, and rainbow flags.
Donald Trump won't do it. The U.S. Postal Service said, fuck you.
Well, let's blow through a couple of the news items.
We have 4 minutes. Yeah,
okay.
Go right ahead.
Number one, the House Intelligence Committee issued seven subpoenas for Seven Brothers, I believe is the name of the musical. It's adorable. We all loved it. They're issuing subpoenas now.
Well, but Devin Nunes, he subpoenaed some stuff on his own.
I issued secret subpoenas to my friends.
Yeah, to try to get Susan Rice involved. Right. I mean, as I wrote today, he is not an investigator. He is a co-conspirator.
Yeah, he is. And he violated any concept, any legal definition of recusal by sticking his big bazoo back into the middle of the investigation, deciding that he was going to decide to issue some subpoenas and not tell anybody about them.
Right.
Because Donald Trump wants it that way, and I'm his bitch.
Or Rupert Murdoch wants it that way. We need stories about Susan Rice, so find us dirt on Susan Rice and find us dirt on, so we can say, but the Obama administration did this.
Well, speaking of that, I don't know if it's the official policy of the Professional Left Podcast, but if Hillary Clinton wants to spend the next 5 years giving a speech a month about how she was screwed in the last election and how Russia did terrible things, let her.
Yeah.
Let her.
Well, no, I'm sorry. That's bullshit. We don't let her do anything.
Right.
Fuck that.
She's
going to do it. I am done with this bullshit men telling Hillary Clinton what she can and cannot do. Fuck everybody.
Thank
now.
You. That's what I meant to say. What I meant to say was, it's the official policy of the Professional Podcast that Hillary Clinton can talk about whatever the hell she wants to talk about.
We don't give her permission to do anything.
Right.
We don't have, she doesn't owe us shit.
No.
Okay.
No. She was rolled over and rolled over and rolled over. Jared Kushner, on the other hand, built a luxury skyscraper with loans designed to benefit projects in poor, job-starved areas because, you know, they're all just slumlords at heart. They're all just fucking grifters. It is a family full of horribly debased criminals.
And that's what they saw with Russia. It wasn't collusion to do anything governmental. No. They don't believe in government. They saw rubles and dollar signs of the richest people in the world and thought they could make a deal with them. And Jared Kushner in particular just needs constant streams of laundered money, whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Big money.
It's all good.
Big money. Right.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump has asked world leaders to call him on a celly. Hey, folks. Yeah. Give me a call, and because why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you just say, sure, blow past
security?
Yeah,
but her emails. Okay, moving on.
Kellyanne Conway would like you to know, because she's still alive and a person and living in the world, believes that the back channels are all perfectly normal. Perfectly normal. All the kids do it.
There's a couple of changes that have happened in the Trump-Russia story this week, and one is that Vladimir Putin now says, well, you know, maybe there was some interference with the election. It wasn't the state. It was patriotic Russians who meant well. It's a damn shame that Vladimir Putin has no control over his patriotic citizenry.
Is that bad? I had that guy.
And then the other change is Michael Reagan and other conservative far-right nut job stupid people.
Uh-huh.
Well, so what if there was collusion? Show us the law. That's not against the law.
Michael Reagan.
It's like
Michael Reagan. Michael Reagan.
T is for treason. That's good enough for me.
Michael Reagan, whose existence as a media person depends entirely on his tenuous relationship with his, I believe, stepfather or adopted father. Mm-hmm. His last name. Is perfectly cool with a collusion with the Russians.
Well, it's not. Show me the law.
The
and,
law.
Of course, putting Don Lemon on the spot about naming a statute was not that worked for him. Fortunately, PolitiFact and Media Matters had a few law professors they could call, and they were all like, oh, yeah, that's totally against the law. Here are the statutes. Yeah. You're not allowed to take foreign money for a U.S. election. It's clear that there's money involved here. The end. You know, that's it. It's a violation of campaign finance. It's a violation of many different treasonous statutes. And here you go. So that's
way to go, man.
Show me the law. Show me where it says you can't collude with the Russians to overthrow an election. Really? And then his second argument was it didn't change one vote.
Right.
Well, I'll remember that next time I try to break in your house and hit you over the head with a broomstick.
Look, it's only attempted murder.
I only tried. I didn't actually succeed in bashing your head in with a broomstick, Michael Reagan. So I should be exonerated, right? Because it didn't change one thing about your house.
It's a participation trophy, really.
I need a participation trophy for trying to break into your house in the middle of the night.
Well, apparently,
smack your nose off.
Apparently, Russians have discussed potentially derogatory information that they hold over the Trump team's head, which is very exciting. And at the other end of the intellectual spectrum, President Stupid apparently needs to have intelligence briefers reduce everything to story time.
Short, that's old news.
Pictures.
Mention his name over and over again. Yeah.
Keep mentioning his name or his attention wanders. You have a note here about Senator Whitehouse, I believe.
Yes, Senator Whitehouse said it all tonight. He did. He said, Trump is betraying the country in the service of Breitbart fake news and the Koch brothers' climate denial operation.
Yep.
The end. Yep.
Done. done and done. And just so you know, in terms of laws, it appears that the Trump campaign probably didn't preserve its digital documents, which is like, you know, the law.
They deleted emails on a private server, Driftglass. Yeah. That's what they did. Yeah, I can't even anymore. I just can't. We're done. Okay. Hey, you know, again, sorry we're so mad tonight, but we're just damn mad.
Yep.
About a lot of things. There's a lot of things to be mad about this week, and it is okay to express that anger.
And you know who's graduating Saturday?
Junior dude is graduating from high school and going on to college, and he's going to fight for all the good things. People that think that young people don't care don't know my kids and their friends.
Nope.
They're the future, and they don't think anything of Trump.
Nope.
Like, nope, not going to go there. That's stupid. Nope. Yeah. And as I said, the thing that's really alarming, Junior Dude, is our place in the world.
Huh?
How do we get our moral supremacy in the world back? I said, we don't.
Yeah, no.
We will have to work for a long time to get that back, and that's up to you, Junior Dude. So he's going to have to work on that. Good for you. I'll be long gone. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Dot.
Dot.
Dot has a white dot on her nose. And we used to have a cat when I was a teenager that had a white triangle on his nose. And his name was Christmas Tree Nose.
Wow.
But Dot is, I like Dot better.
Yeah.
Dot is a better, easier name to remember.
Rolls off the tongue. Really does. Yeah.
Right. Dot's housemate cat, Felix, was Kitty of the Week many moons ago, and then Dot moved in. Felix now weighs 14 pounds, and Dot weighs 6.5 pounds, and Dot has managed to find a way to boss Felix around all over the house. So Dot's in charge. She says her secret is lots and lots of yoga stretches, and you will see that on our Facebook page and website. Boy, is she good at the yoga stretching. Yes, she is. You can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com. Do put in the subject line kitty of some sort. Put the word kitty somewhere so when I search kitty, I can find your email. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you.
We do.
Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions and Pride. We're very proud of you, Postal Service and Postal Unions. Thank you for that. Go Postal Unions, letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local. We also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store. And if you go to our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, and you want to give a graduation gift to someone.
Or whatever, you know.
You can actually buy something called Student Prime. And if you're not related to the student, like Junior Dude will just be on my Prime account, and he can just get free shipping and stuff like that that way. But if you are giving a gift to a student that doesn't live with you and isn't sharing your Amazon account with you, you can get them Student Prime at a reduced rate and get them free shipping from Amazon for textbooks and everything else as a gift. That's like something that they're doing now. And we get, I forget what we get. We get something like $8 or $10 every time somebody orders Student Prime this month. So that's kind of cool. I didn't do a very good job of, I should have had like this Bob Seska written thing.
Sure.
You know, go to Amazon.com/professionalleft and you can get everything, right?
Here.
No, it doesn't work that way with us.
No.
We are not nearly so polished as Bob Seska.
No.
Believe me.
No. And we don't want to be, really. Seska's way too Hollywood. You know, he's way too Seska-ish.
He's polished, and I love that about him.
I do, too.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, I do, too.
But, you know, we're out here in the cornfield just trying to pay our health insurance
just
every once in a while.
Throwing the shit together.
Yep. And throwing the shit together. Yep. That's what we
well,
do.
Well, I got to say, I ramble. The podcast really is me rambling, saying inane things for like 3 hours. And then Blue Gal cuts it down to a tight 1 hour and 2 minutes.
Or 1 hour and 20 minutes sometimes.
But
depends.
But we have I have the advantage of having a incredibly bright and incredibly gifted, lovely.
And sometimes
wife.
Incredibly patient.
Yeah, incredibly patient wife who makes the mess I make look professional and who knows her Bible backwards and forwards.
Can I do a shout out to Anna?
Yeah.
Anna bought us breakfast. This is a podcast listener named Anna. Shout out to Anna. She bought us breakfast last Saturday. Yeah. And if you're in Springfield area, just email us at proleftpodcast@gmail.com. You can buy us breakfast.
You can buy us breakfast, too. It's weird. I've had visitors from out of town and previous careers and so forth a lot in the last couple of weeks.
You have.
If you're in the Springfield area, you know who we missed tonight, because we're doing this on Thursday.
We did miss him. We missed
Sydney
Blumenthal was in town.
Yeah,
and we didn't get to go hear him talk about
Matt.
But he wasn't going to talk about see, if he was giving a talk about the House Intelligence Committee or the House Oversight Committee, I would have dropped everything and taken the whole family. But he wrote a book about Lincoln.
Yeah.
And so he's here in Springfield to talk about Lincoln. And it's like, I know about Lincoln.
Yeah.
You know, Springfield is Lincoln. That's all we ever hear about.
Don't tell me about Lincoln.
Don't talk to me about Lincoln, Sydney Blumenthal. Who are you to talk about Lincoln? Yeah. But yeah, no. And I mean, maybe he'll get into it. I don't know what he'll get into. But I'm sure somebody after his talk will stand up and say, well, wait a minute. What about our emails?
And we're done.
Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. Again, see our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com.
Yep. One thing that also helps is sharing our show on Facebook or Twitter.
Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter, and thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties know what make the cage con fe fe sing.
Let's think about living. Think about living. Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying and the flower and the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2017, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.